So really, thank you for being here this morning. Every service, you know, every time we have a worship service in our church, it's designed to give God the glory, to thank him for what he's done in our lives, what he's doing for us in our lives, to honor him the way he asked us to through worship. But today I want to thank you too. Many of you have worked hard to help us have a little different, a little more special day here. Many of you are here just because you were asked to come, and I thank you for joining us today. I want to speak first this morning about the work of the church. Not just our church, but any and every Bible-believing church. We exist for the sole purpose of telling as many other people about Jesus Christ as possible. That's it. That's the core mission. The Bible teaches us we are all sinners. Every person on the planet Earth. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, I get it. In our human bodies, in our human minds, we look at our sin and we think, "I'm not too bad," because we can always find someone who does a little bit more in the sin category than we do, right? I mean, and when we look at that person, well, we can feel pretty good about ourselves. But my hometown preacher growing up used to say this all the time, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And the simple fact is that every one of us, in some way or another, have failed before our God. And the Bible prediction or result of all that's rather gloomy. It tells us there are consequences for our sinful behavior. Whether one sin or a dozen or hundreds, Gary's case, hundreds of thousands, we've all sinned and broken God's law. And the consequence of that is death. Has been since day one. Since Adam and Eve first ate of the forbidden fruit, the consequence has been death. They died. They weren't made to die. They were made to live and live and live. Their death wasn't immediate, but the long-term result of that sin was their death, and that death represented our symbolic spiritual death or eternal death that awaits all of mankind for their sin. See, at the end of this life, there will be a final judgment, and we'll be forever placed in a place of glory and wonder and awe called heaven, or a place of torment called hell. Scripture teaches that the consequence of sin is an ultimate eternal separation from our Creator in a place known as Hades or hell or the second death. And even though that was God's plan, it wasn't his desire. It's not what he wanted. See, justice demands punishment. Crime demands some sort of consequence. And that's the way God created the world. Yet God still had a plan. Even before Adam and Eve ate that fruit, committed that first sin, he had a plan for their forgiveness. Before you committed the very first sin of your life, God had a plan for your forgiveness. He knew how you'd be forgiven. It's kind of summarized in a single verse of Scripture, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish, would not be punished for their sin, would not face the consequences of their sin. So they would not perish, but would have everlasting life." And that is the good news of the gospel. That's the message this church and every other Bible-believing church is supposed to be sharing with others. It's a message of love. It's a message of hope. It's a message of forgiveness. It's the greatest message in all the world. And it really is. So if you're here today and you don't have confidence in your salvation, I hope you heard that message. There's a lot of other ways to teach us, and there's so much more I could have said about it, but I don't have time today. But I hope you heard it. Without Jesus Christ as Savior, there is no hope beyond this life. There is no ultimate forgiveness. There is no hope of salvation. But understand this. Don't miss this. God loves you. He wants to forgive you. He wants you to accept his Son as your Savior. It's free. It's God's gift to you. And if you don't totally understand that, if you don't yet have enough information to make a decision to accept Christ, let me know after the service. I'll send you a book. It's called The Case for Christ. If you need more evidence, I'll sit down and talk to you about it. But this book, The Case for Christ, is fantastic. It's written by a guy named Lee Strobel. He's the editor, or former editor of the Chicago Tribune. He was not a Christian. He had little interest in Christianity until his wife and children started to go to church and begged him to go along with them. And so he studied. And he studied the scriptures, and he studied history. And the result has now been three books: The Case for Jesus, The Case for Christ, and the case of faith, and The Case of Heaven. And they're easy reading books. They're filled with some great information, and I'd love to send one to you. So if you want one, just let me know. I'll get it to you. But now I want to share a word with the rest of you. Those of you who put your faith in Christ. Before I give you that, I want to make one other point really clear, though. We're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, not by works. We're saved by His grace alone. Salvation is not worked for. Salvation is not earned. Salvation cannot be earned. So what I'm asking you this morning is has nothing to do with your salvation. All right? In fact, Ephesians chapter 2 makes it crystal clear. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. So what I'm asking of you today has nothing to do with your salvation. But here's what I want you to know. Anyone can go to any church anywhere and show their love and devotion to God by walking into that building and worshiping. But it takes someone special to help build a church. It takes someone special to create a place where others can go to worship and benefit and learn about Jesus Christ. I'm calling you to be a special person today. There are nearly endless ways to help others, to be difference makers, to bring joy, to bring hope, to bring love, to bring satisfaction to others. Every person, or just about nearly every person that's here today, I know most of you well, are known for loving people, being kind to people, helping others, being difference makers. The work you do, the roles you play are all so important in our society. Our world would be a better place if it had more people like most of you. But I want to let you in on a little secret. Most of the work we do and most of the good deeds we perform are temporary. They provide needed relief, but that relief is temporary. They treat people special. They make our world a better place, but not forever. When we build a church, we are making an investment in eternity and doing something that lasts forever. I want you to hear this passage of scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul wrote, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed or tested with fire. The fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames." Every day, we are getting one day closer to when God will judge this world one final time. And scripture tells us it will be a judgment of fire. The first time he destroyed this world with a flood, the second and final time, it will be with fire. And the apostle says that fire will test the quality of our work. So he says, if you spend your time on earth building things out of wood, hay, or straw, it will be consumed by that fire. But if you spend your time building things out of gold and silver and costly stone, it will survive that fire. Let me give you some quick examples. I love community service. I admire greatly people who serve in their communities, their schools, their neighborhoods. I spent a time on a DDA commission in the city of Howell, downtown Howell, and I found that to be fulfilling. I got to be part of some positive changes, but nothing I did on that board will last past the final judgment. it'll all just go poof. I was on the board of Howell Main Street for the year when Howell Main Street won the National Main Street Award. We did such good things in our downtown that we received a national first place award for it. We did some family events. We did some good things for the community, and I love that work. But nothing I did on Howell Main Street will matter one iota when this world is destroyed with fire. I even did a term on the Howell City Council. I help make decisions, and I help make the city a better place. They're building a racetrack right now that I got to be part of deciding on. But nothing I did as a Howell City Councilman will last beyond this life, even that racetrack. Now listen to me carefully. I'm not saying don't serve in your communities. We need loving, caring people to go and work with their PTOs and their schools and their teachers. We need tutors. We need good people coaching youth sports. We need people being members of boards in their communities. We need folks delivering food to the hungry. And I could go on and on. Don't quit doing those things, and don't minimize them. Be proud of every single one of them. Feel appreciated for what you do. But I plead with you to take a little bit of your talent, a little bit of your skills, a little bit of your energy, a little bit of your time and devotion, and do some things that will have eternal significance too. Do something that will last past judgment. Do something that you can take to heaven with you and will cause others to go to heaven with you. That's eternal. I'm asking you today to help me build a church. I'm not asking you to come and fill a seat at Tri-County Christian Church. I'm asking you to help me make a church that makes a difference in this community and even beyond. Every person here has some skill, some ability, some idea, some creativeness that can be used in building a church. I've seen you in action. I've seen your clever ideas on social media. I've heard your parents and friends boast about what a caring person you are. I've seen you rise to meet the needs of others, sometimes people you don't even know. I've seen your compassion for the hurting. And I'm asking that you take a sliver of that, a sliver of what you're doing to make life better, and apply it to something that makes an eternal, forever difference. I've had cause to pause lately and look at my life and ministry, and it's not what I dreamed. Now, I'm thankful for every single person over the years who's given their life to Christ that I've been able to have a part of that. I look back, and though there are hard times, I'm thankful for the times I've been able to visit in hospitals and provide comfort, for the funerals where I've brought messages of hope, for weddings that I've been able to preside over. Yet the goal from day one has been to build a church that reached large numbers of people for Christ, and it just hasn't happened in the way I dreamed. And the reality of my life is this: I'm a few months away from my 60th birthday. I've had a health diagnosis that's caused some uncertainty over how long I'll be able to continue doing what I'm doing. But with whatever time I have left, I want to use it to build a church. And I've invited you here today to ask you to help me. As I said before, if you've already accepted Christ, it's not about your salvation. You're saved. You're going to heaven. But I believe there is a strong scriptural case to be made for various levels of rewards once we get to heaven. I really do. There's a number of passages that point to it. Even the passage I read earlier, listen again to verse 14. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. But listen, besides any of the heavenly benefits or the eternal rewards, I want you to know from experience that there is great pride and joy and fulfillment in getting God's will done today. There is joy beyond anything you've ever experienced in life when you're part of seeing someone give their life to Jesus Christ and helping them get to heaven. Anyone can go to any church. Anyone can show their love and devotion by walking into a church that someone else has built and worshiping. It takes someone special to build a church. You want to be someone special? Help create a place where others can go to worship. And my ask of you today is to consider being that special person. You know, there's one person I invite today. She is not here. And she was quite honest to me in her response. She simply said, I want to go to a church where I can go unnoticed. I don't want anyone to realize when I'm not there. I don't want to be asked to do anything. I don't want to be questioned about any of my choices. Another person said, I want my children to go to a church where they can hang out with their school friends. And can I just suggest that those persons aren't looking for a church, but looking for a country club? Christianity is not about an occasional visit to a church when it's convenient in my schedule. It's a lifestyle. Romans 12, 1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This, he said, is your true and proper worship. May I suggest to you, if you really want to worship and serve God, if you want to teach your children to worship and honor God, that you do so in a way that involves sacrifice. We don't go to church for pleasure, although I hope when you come to church you find pleasure. We go to church for worship and service. I have said over the past few weeks that I think today begins a new era for our church. I don't want to be satisfied any longer keeping the doors open. I want to embrace the mission that the Bible clearly lays out for the Christian church, which is to tell others about the love and the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. To that end, here's what I imagine for our church. I want to grow. I want us to work tirelessly until we have the resources necessary to build a new worship facility on this property. To some, that seems huge. But I'll tell you, to God, it's a small thing. Let's put it to dollars and cents. For about $250,000, we could buy a steel frame structure that would go over the fellowship hall. We could extend it about 10 feet out, 10 yards this way, about 10 yards that way, and as many yards as we want that way. It could be big enough to have classrooms, a gymnasium that would double as a recreation hall, a worship center. With interest, that would be a monthly payment of about $2,250, or spread amongst 30 families, about $75 a month. It's almost too small of a dream. It's almost too easy to consider it a work of faith. My dream center for myself personally would be a traditional auditorium with stained glass windows, a choir loft, long padded pews. It's not practical anymore. It doesn't make sense to put that much money into a room that's used an hour or so a week. So I'm proposing we build a room that you can use as a gymnasium. You can go 3 or 4 miles that way, that way, that way, or that way, and there's no place for kids to go and play ball indoor. We could build it here. We could build something that could be used 7 days a week where we could draw more people to Christ Jesus for about $75 a family. I want to have a building where families can come and use it at no cost for their birthday parties and graduation parties and anniversary parties and baby showers and wedding showers. We could save people in our community a whole lot of money, and when they're here, they could be drawn just a little bit closer to Jesus Christ. I want to have a building where we could operate a daycare, not for profit, just enough to pay the workers, put Nancy out of business, just enough to pay the workers, because daycare is expensive and families are struggling and suffering. We could do it here at a lower cost than what a lot of people pay, and we could be in teaching children from the very earliest age about the love of Jesus. I'd love to have a little coffee shop in that building. It would serve a good purpose before or after church services. But this road, Fenton Road, is a main artery from north to south during rush hour. If you're here at the right times, it's a busy road. 7 in the morning, 4:30, 5 o'clock at night. What if we had a coffee shop here that sold coffee at about half the price of Starbucks and gave all the proceeds to missions? And could tell people worldwide about the love of Jesus Christ. My vision for our church is a place where there would be activity 7 days a week, where local families could have an abundance of needs met, and where the gospel would continue to be preached and the doors of opportunity swung wide open to tell people that Jesus Christ loves them. Will it take a lot of work? Yes. Will it take a lot of money? Depends on what a lot is, I guess, but yes. But listen, anyone can go to a church and enjoy what others have worked hard to make available to you. But it takes someone special to build a church and to create a place where others can go to worship. And if we do it here, we will reach others that no other church will reach. Why don't we just all go somewhere else? Because I believe with all my heart, if we do it here, we will reach others that no one else will reach. We'll send money to missions that no other church is sending money to. We'll make a difference in ways no one else is making. This can be my vision. Can be our dream. But it can also be reality. That's what I want. It's my favorite passage of scripture. You've heard it. We've got it on signs around the building. And it says this: now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be the honor and glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Simply put, if we can dream it, if we can imagine it, God can do more. We can't out-imagine God. We can't dream anything to do here in this church that God can't do more. A few years ago, I went to a church service where they celebrated the pastor's long ministry. They talked about meeting in homes when they first started that church, and they dreamed about establishing a ministry. And then they recall when they decided to build their first church building. It was a small, white-framed building, not much difference than the room we're sitting in right now, only we have a nice fellowship wing too. After they were there and they filled that building up with about 50 people, they talked about building another building. The cost would be around $1 million. That group of 50 people started saving, and in 4 years later, they moved into that new building. That's the church where I gave my life to Jesus Christ, where I was a youth minister for a few years. It had a big auditorium, sat 250 people, classrooms, meeting rooms, full basement, fellowship hall. 4 years after dreaming it, they fulfilled it. God fulfilled it. And during this celebration, talking about that and looking back, the minister pulled out a book. I'd seen it before, but most of the people in the church hadn't. And it was just names and dates. And he started reading name after name after name of people who had given their life to Jesus Christ through the work of their church over the years. They didn't read all the names. They didn't have time. There were over 4,000 names in it. About 10 years ago, they sold that building, and they built another building that seats about 2,500 people. The amazing thing is they have 3 worship services every single Sunday. It began 50 years ago with just 4 families who said, let's build a church. Let's do something for God. Let's start telling people in our community and our neighborhoods about Jesus Christ. I'll never forget the day. It was a day of tremendous celebration, but what stood out to me, and I still remember it clear as day, are the specific names that they mentioned. They talked about Helen Procyse. Helen was remembered for starting the Sunday school program in that church and for teaching in it for over 50 years. She was one of my teachers way back in the day. Karen Perry was mentioned for tirelessly cleaning those buildings and keeping them in good shape for visitors. Every time someone come in, they'd come into a clean building. Karen took on that task. She just retired from it a couple years ago after doing it for more than 50 years. Bill and Cy Wilson were brothers. They were amongst the handful of people that met before there was their first building. They talked about their faith and their commitment and their efforts, and they got that first building done, but they didn't stop. They said there's more people to tell. And they were fully on board when it was time to build that second building. And although there were some great memories in that other building that had stood the test of time over about 35 years, I think, they said, okay, let's go ahead. Let's build the next. They mentioned Craig and Carol Larson. They were celebrated. About the time the second building were built, they showed up, started attending that church. Carol started the choir. Craig became an elder. Together they established the first Bible Bowl teams, and you've heard their names in sermons over and over and over throughout my ministry. When Craig's company was purchased, they told him they're going to have to move away. He could keep his job, but they were moving to Grand Rapids. And Craig and Carol looked at the work they were doing in that church, and Craig quit his job. He started his own paint business. Had a lot of ups and downs with that paint businesses over the years. But because of that paint business, they were able to dream about that third building. See, anyone can go to church. Anyone can go show their love and devotion to God by walking into something that someone else built and worshiping. And that's all good, by the way. But it takes someone special to build a church. I'm looking for some special people to help build a church. For hours that day, we celebrated persons who built a church. And I just want to be really honest with you now. I walked away from that church where I was enjoying a youth ministry and came to this church. And what I dreamed for this church hasn't happened yet. Most of that's on me. I didn't lay a very clear vision. I knew the Bible, knew a little bit about preaching, but I didn't know much about business or organization or leading people. I didn't laser focus on the things that were most important. And we certainly had our share of headwinds over the years, too. But with the great realization that my time is limited, and so to not waste another minute, I'm asking you on this day, January 29, 2023, to join me in an effort to do something special for God. Let's do something of eternal significance. Let's do something that can bring hope and joy to the lives of others, not just for today, but for eternity. Let's do something that will last forever out of gold, silver, and costly stones. Let's build a church. I suspect I won't be here when this day happens, but I'm kind of imagining a day when our congregation celebrates in a new worship center not many yards from here, and you start remembering the past. I imagine a day when you, someone in this room, maybe some new young preacher, stands before the congregation and says, I want you to remember a day when Tri-County was a small, struggling church. You had this old crotchety preacher who really did want to see people led to Christ, and he called up his family and friends and church family and say, hey, would you guys help me do something special while we have time? And I can imagine they start naming names. There's Steve and Denise King. They hosted a meal in their home, and they helped get the whole thing started. When they talked about it, not one single person said it can't be done. No one said, that's crazy. They all just went to work. There's Gary and Vernetta Nunnery. They wrote letter after letter after letter after letter. They made phone calls. They sent text messages. There's Mark and Jackie Vinnie. They invited so many people. And Jackie got so excited when that person finally said, I'm going to come. And then they didn't come, but they said they'll come next week. They heard a lot of people say no, but they kept on inviting. There's Alyssa Voss. She ordered these magnets. She created them, ordered them, stuffed them in letters, and sent letters to all kinds of family and friends all throughout her neighborhood. There's Josh and John. You wouldn't believe the work they did to patch up this old building and try to make it look a little bit better and keep it all pasted together until we built something better. They replastered, they painted. There's Bob and Teresa and Jackie and Brenda and Becky and Alyssa. They came before that Sunday, and they worked so hard to make that old building look as clean and welcoming as they possibly could. And there's you. You came. You listened. You withstood a little bit of pressure. You prayed, God, what should I do? And I hope and pray on that day so many of your names are mentioned. I hope you're one of those who raise their hand and say, I want to do something that makes an eternal difference. Anyone can go to church. Anyone can go and enjoy the programs and the events and the great services that others have put together and provided. It takes someone special to show their love and devotion to God by walking into a church and deciding to help build it so someone else can come and worship. It's hard work. It takes someone special to build a church. I could sure use your help. Would you consider helping me in building a church?